Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Lord, we give you thanksgiving this morning and praise. Father, for what you are about to do, Lord, there is nothing that is impossible. And all things, O Lord Jesus, you have provided for us that we are willing, Lord, and able to receive. And Lord, we desire to know you better. But Jesus, healing is ours. And Lord, we're going to receive it. Jesus, the manifestations in bodies, in Jesus' name, that whoever hears this, O Lord, that within them their spirit be quickened and made alive, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that they would receive, and Lord, my God, be healed, standing upon the word, receiving the word, and seeing the manifestation of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Morning, Jackie. Okay. All right, we're going to talk about faith. Faith, which is really belief and trust. You're trusting. If you have faith in God or faith in anything, you trust in it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard the example, I have faith in that chair, it's going to hold me up. I'm just going to sit, I'm not even going to think about it because I have faith in it. It's strong, it's going to hold me up. I don't even have to consider it. Do we have that same kind of faith in God?
We should.
We should. And not just for our bodies, for our physical, but for anything. Do we have that same faith? We need to have that same kind of strong faith that we just trust him with everything. We give everything to him. And he's given us a mind, you know, that we can, you know, live in this world and be responsible and do things as we know and as we've been taught and learned. But when it comes to some of those impossible things, do we trust God that he knows exactly what our need is, that he's aware of it? So we're going to talk about not just faith, but I wanted to attach a word to it. I wanted to put radical faith on there. So give me a definition of radical.
Extreme.
Extreme, that is one. It is extreme.
Beyond limit.
Beyond limitation, you're right. It is.
Wild and crazy. I mean, just like,
you know,
radical.
It's you're a fanatic.
Fanatical.
Exactly. And those are all definitions of radical. Something that is far reaching.
Elite.
Yes, there you go. That's a good one. And it's also thorough. It means it's thorough. It's complete. When, you know, radical. But another definition I found of radical, because, you know, we think of like, you know, you want to think of in, you know, in politics, they're always talking about the radical left, the radical right. They're so extreme, they're way out there, you know. When it is how they want to communicate to you. But radical faith is that extreme that believes for the impossible. That can't happen. Well, if God spoke it, it's just, we just have to believe it.
I thought that was a misuse of radical.
Of what? Tell me what you mean.
You see, one of the problems we have is the fact that we talk about radical faith.
Yes.
But we're just talking about faith. We serve a radical God.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. And that's where we're going. That's what we're getting to. So thank you. Thank you, Joe. And here's what I mean by that. And this is going to confirm what you just said. The other definition of radical that I found. Hi, John. Is it's a root. It's a foundation.
Interesting.
So when you're, like John 15:5, he's the root, we're the branches. Our foundation is Jesus Christ, and he is that radical God. And so that same energy, life that is within him, flows through us. So yes, we already have radical faith. Because we have faith. It took faith for us to be born again. Did you see it happen? I didn't see what happened in my spirit. I didn't see that. I couldn't look down inside of me and see like this explosion of life. I didn't see it. I didn't see my spirit come alive, but I believed it happened. That's what faith does. It believes. I didn't hear anything. Some would say, well, I didn't feel anything, but some would say I did feel something. It was like this weight lifted off of me. But inside of me, you know, I could not see salvation take place, but I believed that it did. So it's easy for us to believe something that we don't see. But if we have a physical malady, it's hard for us to believe for that sometimes because we see it all the time. It's always before our eyes. It's like you're looking at this roadblock. I can't go that way. There's a roadblock. But Jesus is the one who has said, the word says, by his stripes we are healed. So he is our healer. So we have the same radical faith, if you will, to receive our healing as we did when we received salvation. It's all there.
Salvation,
it's all there.
The same thing.
It's all there. It's already complete. It says we are complete in him. Colossians 2:10. We are complete in him. So what I want to do is look at a couple of stories and do a little comparison here of some stories, you know, in the Bible. And let's see the faith that some of these people had. And, you know, like you said, Joe, we all have faith, but some have a sheer determination. They are not going to be denied. And so let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and this is when Jesus heals the paralytic man that their friends brought to him. It says, starting in verse 17, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Jerusalem was probably close to about 80 miles away. So there was a lot of people that were there in Capernaum that day. This is where Jesus was teaching at. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present, which means there was purpose. There was a purpose in mind. The power of the Lord was present. God always has a purpose, and his power was present to heal. The word heal there, really, if you look at it, it goes into the word that really means what a physician would do. So it's talking about physical healing.
Hallelujah.
He is talking about physical healing.
Amen.
The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Holy Spirit lives within us, right? The power of the Lord is always present to heal.
Amen.
He's always present to heal because he's right here within us. But it says, if we keep going here, we're in Luke chapter 5.
Thank you.
It says in verse 18 now, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, there was a big service that day, right? I mean, there was a crowd of people. They couldn't get in. They could not get in. There were so many people in this house. So what they did, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, now we're talking about faith, right? We're talking about faith and this faith that will not be denied. He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Well, they didn't come for that. Right? They came for healing. I got this friend of mine. First of all, we just got to look at their determination. Those houses, they would have like a stairway that would go up like on the outside of the house. I don't know if you've ever been. I think you've been in California. I'm sure you've been in California. If you're going through around some of these mountains in a car and you're sitting on the passenger seat and you're looking over, it's like, get me out of here, honestly. it's kind of freaky. I could not imagine this man who he's paralyzed. He's having to be taking up these steps, which were not wide, trusting. This is he's trusting his friends. Please don't drop me. I mean, you know, put yourself in that place. Whenever I read this, I try to put myself, what is this man going through? Besides, his friends were so determined. They couldn't get in. They were determined. They would not be denied. They had so much faith, which means that was their persuasion. They were fully persuaded in what they were doing. They were taking him to Jesus for one purpose. The power of the Lord was present. Remember, that's the purpose, to heal. So they were taking him there. And they made a way. It looked impossible. There was a roadblock, right? We've said, you can't go through this way. Roadblock, detour. We're getting through. They were determined to get through. So they took him up on the roof. They tore out the tiling on the roof and they let him down. And when they let him down, it says in the midst or right in the middle of this whole crowd of people, they let him down in the midst of this. And Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven you. Well, forget the scribes and the Pharisees at that point. All of a sudden, they're going and they're judging, right? They're condemning. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus was getting to the root. Mm-hmm. He was getting down to the root cause.
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
Sickness comes because of sin. And sometimes we carry this. Sometimes we carry the guilt of it. But when you get down to the root cause, and I asked the Lord, but Lord, you hadn't, you know, I mean, he healed everybody that he came in contact with. But I says, but you hadn't died yet. How could, you know, sins were forgiven? That has to be through the cross, right? Yes, it is. But you got this sinless man. Jesus came sinless. He wasn't like others. He was God in the flesh, sinless, but yet a man. So he understood all of the things that we were going through, but yet he was Almighty God in the flesh. Sinless. The spotless lamb who takes away the sin of the world. John identified him. Look, there he is. The Lamb of God. He identified. He's going to take away the sin of the world. And when you think about this Lamb of God, at one point it was just a lamb for one family. Abraham, one man. You know, if you think about, you know, the covenant that God made with him. And then it was a lamb for a nation. All Israel. But then it became a lamb for the world, the whosoever will. So that we can all be redeemed, we can be saved, we can be forgiven of our sin. And with that, as we already talked about, Jackie, with that salvation is our healing. It's with our healing comes because of that salvation. Because that's the root of every sickness.
Amen.
Is sin.
Amen.
So that's why he said, your sins are forgiven you. And so, of course, they condemned him for it. But what's easier to say? Yeah, today, I mean, if you think about it, you got a man, is it going to be really easy to say to that man, rise up and walk? The Pharisees couldn't do it. But you see, it's all the same thing. What's harder? What's easier? It's all the same thing. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. This is what we possess within us right now, if we could just receive it and see it. We were talking about having radical faith, but as we discussed, the radical part of it is who Jesus is. He's the root. We just have faith, and faith is our persuasion that he is going to do what he said he would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolute complete trust. But what I've seen in here, when he saw their faith, so faith can be seen. Remember when Paul was talking to, I believe it's in Acts chapter 14, he was in the city of Lystra. And he was preaching the gospel. That's what he's doing. He's preaching the gospel. He's bringing the gospel message to that town, who was an idol-worshipping town. And he's watching this man who was paralyzed in his feet, and he looked at him. He says, "I perceive, or I can see, you have faith to be healed." You can. He's seen it. Faith can be seen. So he looked at him. He says, "Rise and walk." And the man was healed. And he was an older man, but he received his faith because faith can be seen. You can perceive faith. You can see it. Jesus sees it within us. He perceives it when we have faith. There's been times to where you just know beyond any doubt. You know. You're talking to yourself. You're trying to convince yourself. You're reading and you're seeing. But all of a sudden, it's like faith just rises up. Jesus sees it. And that's when the answer's already been provided. But all of a sudden, you're in that place where you just receive it. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You know, faith can be seen. I want to go to a couple other places because there's a couple other places about faith that I want to look at here. Bartimaeus. Remember, we always call him blind Bartimaeus. He's still got that label, blind Bartimaeus. But just remember, he was the blind son of Timaeus, is who he was. And he's crying out. He knew, he heard Jesus. He couldn't see him, but he heard him. Something happened and he heard him. And he began to cry out. Jesus is walking by and he's crying out, "Son of David, Son of David," which was really a title for Messiah. And he understood that. "Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." And the crowd's trying to quiet him down. "Shh, be quiet, be quiet." But he cried louder and louder. Faith has to be determined. Are you determined? Those people that brought their friend on that bed that was afflicted with, he was paralyzed, they were determined. They're getting in there. They're not going to let anything stop them. They're getting in there to have their friend. He's the only hope. Jesus, this man, we've seen it. We've heard about him. He's the only hope for me. We're getting him in there. And they did. And he was healed. Blind Bartimaeus was determined. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And it says,
where are you at, Joanne?
I'm sorry, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. "So many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called." So now we hear faith can be heard. We saw in the beginning Jesus seen their faith. Faith can be seen. But now he's crying out to him and he's determined. Faith can be heard. Jesus stopped everything he was doing. He says, "Bring him to me. What can I do for you? Lord, that my eyes, that I can see." And the man was healed because he was determined. Have you ever had somebody tell you just, you know, or you've heard it said, "Leave well enough alone. Be happy with what you've got." Right?
Right.
At least I've got a roof over my head. How determined are you? Are you going to keep crying out and keep crying out because you know he has the answer for everything? You know what's been provided. We talked about Colossians where it says we are complete in him. If we are complete, we should have no lack.
I was just Jackie. Thinking that, you know, as he was crying out, he had a revelation of who he was. He really knew that he was the Messiah.
Yes.
I mean, he knew. And I think that is a really important
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
He knew who he was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Though, I mean, he's not just a man. He knew he was the Messiah. He knew his true identity.
And when you know something, Amen. Don't let anybody hold you back. Don't let anybody shut you up. And this is what they were trying to do. Shh, be quiet, be quiet. You're making a scene. You know, quit being so obvious. You know?
So radical.
So radical. You radical person. So faith can be seen, right? Faith can be heard. We got to look at some more examples because I want to bring this all together at the end. Luke chapter 8. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just give an example. Luke chapter 8, which is the woman with the issue of blood. Remember, here comes Jairus. Jairus has stopped Jesus. Come, my daughter, she's at the point of death. Come and you know, she'll be raised up. She'll be healed. But in the meantime, this man or this woman with an issue of blood, now she's unclean. She's been 12 years like this. 12 years, she's exhausted all of her money. She's went to physician after physician, and she grew no better, it says. She's still in the same state as she was 12 years ago, and her money has been lost, so she's financially bankrupt. She spent everything, and still she has the same issue, but she says, if I could only touch him. If I could just touch him. She's an unclean woman. And according to law, the moment she touches him, he's unclean. But she says, if I could just touch him, I would know. And I could be healed.
Point of order.
Point of order, okay.
In Jewish tradition, the robe around the bottom of Jesus' garments would have tassels on the bottom of it.
Yes, they did.
Blue tassels.
Mm-hmm.
And the unclean can touch the blue tassels without making the priest unclean.
Well, I'll have to check that.
Okay.
I will. Thank you, Joe.
It's the faith part that she wants to touch the hem of his garment, not just touch Jesus.
But I'm sure she touched a lot of other people in the midst. I'm sure she did, you know?
She did.
But anyways, thank you, Joe. But I will. I'll look it. Okay? But she gets in there, and she does grab hold of him. She pressed her way in. Again, there's this determination. I'm not going to be denied. He's my hope. I will not be denied. So she made her way through all of that crowd of people and touched him, and he stopped. He says, who touched me? And, of course, the disciples, look at all these people. And you're asking who touched you? We all touched you. But no, he felt something. So now we see faith can be felt. He felt it. He experienced, somebody has cried out to me, and he felt their cry. He felt it leave him, okay? You got to go to coffee, go ahead. Like I said, I know the coffee boss. Yeah. So faith can be felt, but we have to have that determination that you're going to press in no matter what. Faith can be seen, faith can be heard. Faith can be felt. Jesus, whether we're crying out, whether we're you know, inside of ourselves emotionally, he knows it. He hears it. He sees it. He feels it. He says he's touched by every infirmity that we have went through. He was touched by everything that was not nothing that he did not go through that he did not identify with us in our lack, in our need. But Mark 11, Mark chapter 11, you know what I'm going to say already, don't you? Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. The fig tree had dried up, and Jesus cursed the fig tree the day before. They came back by and they says, look, it's dried up from the very roots. And they're asking him, look. Peter says, look, it's withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them in verse 22, have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So faith can be spoken. Faith can be heard. It can be seen. It can be felt. Faith can be spoken. So faith believes for the impossible. It does not give up. It does not give in. It can't be moved or swayed by circumstances. It's the same faith that we got born again with is the same faith that we receive our healing and our deliverance and our financial freedom. It's all the same faith because we're complete in Him. And remember, we talked about radical. We were talking about radical faith, which, yes, Jesus is the root. We says those definitions of radical were extreme, way out there, beyond. But another definition of radical means a foundation. It's a root. I didn't realize that till I started looking it up. But another definition of radical, it's a root, it's a foundation. And He is the vine, and we are the branches. So we're rooted in this radical kind of faith already because we're rooted in Jesus. Those roots, they grow deep. When the wind comes, the roots hold it. It's stable. It goes down deep. He says, be like a tree that's planted by the water because the roots go down deep and deep. When there's a drought, what happens with tree roots? You see them, they start coming to the surface because they're looking for water. They're looking for moisture. But a root that is rooted in Jesus has a deep foundation. It's a deep root because you're planted by the rivers of water of life because He is the river of life, right? That's where our faith comes from. It comes from Him. So we already have radical faith. So to pray, Lord, increase. I know they prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Believe in God. Just believe in God. Just believe all that's there. Now, to bring this all around, I want to look at one more story and see how sometimes you can't look at what you see. You can't look at what you hear. You can't look at what you feel, and you can't look at what's spoken over you. Even though in faith, faith can be seen, faith can be heard, faith can be felt, and faith can be spoken. But let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. The one thing we have to know is that the power of the Lord is always present to heal. Because He's in you. He's in me. We need to have the audacity, the same kind of audacity to press in like the ones that brought their friend, right, to Jesus. Like the one that, the woman with the issue, she would not be denied. Be determined, don't be deterred. It's something that the Lord spoke to me years and years ago. Be determined, don't be deterred. And I thought, okay, I got to look that up. What does all of that mean? It's just be determined. Just know who God is. And when He says something, no, that's my promise. And all of His promises are yes and amen, right? Yes, yes, so be it. If the promise is there, it's mine to receive. So I have to have that same kind of determination to press in and receive what I know is mine. But I prayed and it didn't happen. Stand on the truth. Continue to stand. Continue to believe. Faith is your platform that will not let you down. Faith is strong. It's firm. It's a foundation because it's built in Jesus and He gave it to you. Amen. He gave it to you. Step out of yourself. Right? Step out of your mindset. Step out of what the world says. The world says, there's no cure for that. The world says, you know, you're going to be broke forever. The world says, look at this economy we got. Get ready, get ready. And there is, you know, a truth to planning. I understand that. But we're not bound by what the world says because our kingdom is not here. Our kingdom is the kingdom of God. And He says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God's within you. Oh, okay, so I have wisdom? Yeah. I have knowledge? Yes, I do. I have faith? I do. I'm healed? Yes, I am. Amen. It's a different kingdom. So we're not bound by the rules of this world. But let's go to Acts chapter 9. And this is the story of Dorcas. I want to read the story about Dorcas. Dorcas, or Tabitha. Her name means a gazelle, which is like a deer, you know? I don't know about you. I love to see deer and watching them, you know, jump about. But Dorcas, verse 36. Starting at verse 36 of Acts chapter 9, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, just to let you know, they were about 20 miles away. It was a good 20 miles away. It wasn't next door. There's a ways to go here.
They didn't have a car either.
No. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And we're going to stop right there. The woman's dead, right? Now, whether they sent for Peter before she died, but still, she's dead. They didn't say, like the men did to Jairus' daughter, "Never mind, it's too late. She's already passed. Let the master go," you know. What did Jesus say to him? "Don't be afraid. Only believe." So Peter's there. They brought Peter here. I said, "Well, she's in the upper room. She's already dead." So what did Peter do? He wasn't moved by what the people were feeling. Peter had faith for this woman, right? Because he's seen it before. He saw how Jesus raised up Jairus' daughter that was dead for just a little short time. But he also saw how Jesus raised up the widow of Nain's son, who had been dead for a day. He also saw how Jesus raised up Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. But he also saw Jesus after he had been resurrected.
Amen. Amen.
So he understood resurrection, life, and power. Do we have that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Can we raise the dead?
Amen.
Yes, we can.
You've gone too far.
You're radical.
So, Peter couldn't be moved by what he was seeing, right? Peter had faith to believe for this woman, but he's seeing something. He couldn't be moved by what he was seeing. He couldn't be moved by what he was hearing. They're all weeping and they're crying. She's dead. This is the report. The spoken report is she's dead. But he couldn't be moved by what they were feeling or their emotions and all of their weeping and crying. And look at what she's done. She's been such a wonderful woman. But he couldn't be moved by that. Peter had to get his eyes on who the Lord is and who he was in Jesus, this power that had been put within him. He understood on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit invaded the earth. The very same presence of the Lord and power of the Lord that was present to heal when Jesus was there was now within Peter. And so he understood that. So he went in there and he put them all out like Jesus did. Unbelievers, get out of here. I'm not going to listen to unbelief. Don't listen to unbelief. Listen to what you know is the truth. Always go back to the Word. What does the Word say? Well, that disease is impossible. You've got, you know, 4 days left to live. You've got a week left to live. What does the Word say about it? There's been people that have been on their deathbed and that have been raised to life.
Amen.
Before they died. But then there's been those. Think of Andrew Womack's testimony of his son. Because he had had a word previously. Wait a minute. My son's dead, but what about this prophetic word that was over him? It hasn't come to pass yet. Death has no power over the spoken prophetic word of God. Death cannot steal that if you're determined to stand and you're not going to be moved. If you've got that radicalness that you're going to stand there and not be moved. This is what it takes. So yes, faith can be seen, but don't be moved by what you see.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Faith can be heard, but don't be moved by what you hear. Faith can be felt, but don't let your emotions get the best of you. Amen. Right? But faith can be spoken, so speak the word and don't listen to the evil report spoken over you.
Amen.
The doctor's report.
Amen.
You're never going to amount to nothing, right? A lot of us went through some stuff and we heard some stuff. And we can either hold that report, or we can say, wait a minute, the report of the Lord, you speak that and be healed,
amen,
be restored, be delivered.
Amen.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And what we're going to do is we're going to open this up for prayer. But I just want to do this. How do you get that radical faith? How do you do it? How do we possess this? How do we pursue it? We got to do the same thing and listen to the same words that Jesus spoke to Jairus in Luke chapter 8. Don't be afraid, only believe. We have to believe. We can't let the fear of what we're going through overtake us. Only believe the truth of what Jesus said. Only believe. Believe. Trust in him. Trust in what he said. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Another way we get radical faith, we need to understand the authority that we have in Jesus' name. We already have an authority, and it's the name of Jesus. This is after the man at the gate beautiful had been healed. And in verse 16, Peter says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Listen to that, the faith which comes through him. Jesus gives you faith. He gives you faith to believe. Is his faith marred? His faith is perfect. So we have the same faith that Jesus has because he's put it within us. When we got born again, he gave us his faith to believe to be born again. Something that we can't see happen within us, and we believed it. So yes, we can believe for something that we can see because it's the same faith. So do not fear, only believe. Understand the authority that you have in Jesus' name. But also, let's go to Acts chapter 19. We're going to see one more thing here that's going to help us to receive this radical faith. Acts chapter 19, there was these seven sons of Sceva, remember? Sceva was a priest, like a Jewish priest, and there's a man that's possessed, and they're thinking they're going to go in and cast this devil out. So in verse 14 of Acts chapter 19, it says, "And there were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so." Well, we got to go back farther. We got to read this first. Verse 13, okay? "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." We need to know and understand that the devil knows you, and he knows the authority you possess already in the name of Jesus. These men did not know Jesus. They didn't have a personal relations with him. They says, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul knows. Right. Well, the devil knows who Jesus is, but he knew who Paul was, and he knows who you are. Right. He knows who we are, the believers in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So how do you get radical faith? Only believe. Know the power of the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And have an understanding the devil knows that you know it. And don't sway from that. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to close this. If anyone wants prayer, whoever hears this, in Jesus' name, we're just going to say right now, whoever even listens to this over the podcast, in Jesus' name, be healed. Receive your healing right now. Knowing who you are in Jesus Christ, that you are complete in Him, and He has already paid the price for what you have need of. Nothing is impossible. Only believe. Don't let fear overtake you. Perfect love, the love of God, cast out all fear. You're accepted in Him. You can't earn it. He knows you and He loves you and He's accepted you already. So just receive Him and receive what He's already done for you. He took stripes for your healing. He bore your sicknesses. He bore your sin. He bore your diseases. So be saved and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.